It is true. It is our last study. You have your last group next week, but for us in here, this is our last evening, and this year has gone by faster than ever. We started in September, and here we are. I know we've kind of done it every other week in here, but it still has gone by way, way too fast. We do have a longer summer break this year because we're ending a little bit earlier. We've been kind of making our schedule fit with Kids Club and ending a week before they end, but they've kind of continued to end early too. So it's kind of making the summer a little longer, which might be nice. As of this time, we don't have any summer Bible studies to offer, but I encourage you to get together with those women in your group or other women and get into the Word and pray together. Also, with the Gospel for Asia Bible women that we support, we continue to support them through the summer. If you want to continue to give to that, you can do that by just putting your thing in the little envelope and just marking missions, women's ministry missions, and it'll go into the right spot. And then also, if you love women and you love the Lord and you love His Word and you love being in group and you love sharing with women and listening to women share, maybe the Lord would have you lead a group. So if you have had that stirring on your heart, would you please talk with me, or you can let your group leader know, and we'll see what he does. Book of Hebrews tonight. Chapter 12, as we close our wonderful study with these heroes of the faith. And I also want to encourage you this summer, too, to go back on the website and watch the videos of the Bible memorization to refresh your memory, or maybe you haven't done it and you thought, well, that's what I'm going to do. On Wednesday morning or Wednesday evening, when I would have been in Bible study, I'm going to just watch a little video and I'm going to memorize those verses to hide God's Word deep in our hearts. So just as a little review here with the book of Hebrews, it was written to Christians at that time who were suffering a severe persecution just because they were Christians. And the persecution was so great that many were leaving their faith in Jesus and going back into that religious system that taught that salvation could be, could come by works. And so the writer was writing, saying that's not the right response to persecution. That's not the right response to any kind of trial or hardship. The right response is faith in Christ and a stronger relationship with Him. Hebrews 12, 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love these two verses. They're two of my favorite verses. They've been deep in my heart since I was a brand new Christian. In fact, I think it was the second ladies' retreat I ever went to. This was our theme. And we did a wonderful skit. And I even thought about, oh, how could we pull that off for tonight? But we couldn't. Anyway, it's just, I love the picture that the writer is presenting of this Christian life, this Christian walk that we're in as a race, a foot race that we are all in and running. And these cloud of witnesses, they aren't just spectators up in heaven looking down at us, cheering us on. I don't think heaven would be heaven if you were in heaven and you could see everything that was going on down here, because it would be rather depressing. But it is that they are witnesses. Their lives testify. Their experiences testify to us. They're a witness to us that this life of faith can be lived. And in chapter 11, the Lord gave us many, many witnesses to testify that this can be done. And we've learned from their lives. We learned about their history, their experiences, the trials, the hardships that they went through, and their testimony, their witness, it spoke that they were faithful, they obeyed the Lord, and that you too can live this life of faith no matter the persecution, the hardship, or the circumstance. So we started with Abel. Abel demonstrated his faith by obedience. And you'll see that's a key to every single one was obedience. And simply obeying the Lord and what the Lord required as a proper sacrifice. Abel did that. His brother Cain did not. So his faith that speaks to us on just obeying and what does the Lord require and just doing that. Enoch, he demonstrated his faith by being obedient to the call of a prophet that was on his life and that he walked with the Lord, that he pleased the Lord in his obedience. He pleased the Lord so much that God took him. He didn't have to face death. God just took him. Noah, he demonstrated his faith and his fear of the Lord by obeying God's command to build that ark. And then he stood firm in his faith for 100 years in the face of who knows what. All of the jokes, the slander, the persecution, the ridicule, the opposition, and yet he stood firm in his faith and he pleased the Lord. Abraham, the father of faith, his life demonstrates by the obedience, number one, that he left the known into the unknown. Now that is faith, to go where God is calling you and you don't know where that is and you don't know what's ahead of you. And he stepped out in faith. And though as when we studied Abraham's life, we also saw that he had several lapses of faith, but he learned from them. And so his faith grew through that, and it grew so much that when the time came that God called upon him to offer his only son Isaac upon the altar, Abraham had the faith to take those steps to do that, believing that God would even raise him from the dead if need be. Jacob, after years of leaning to his own understanding, not being a man of faith, his life testifies it's never too late. It is never too late to begin that life of faith. And he finished well. He finished strong in the faith because he had that encounter with the Lord and he realized, okay, I can't lean to my own understanding. I've made a mess of my life. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to follow him and walk in faith. Joseph, he demonstrated his faith by trusting God trial after trial after trial. He trusted his future, the outcome of every trial to the Lord, and he was faithful to him. Moses demonstrated his faith by being totally dependent on God every step of the way, those 40 years in leading God's people through the wilderness. Joshua, who was mentored by Moses and got to see his faith and be raised up in that faith, he then got to demonstrate his own faith when God called him now as the second leader to lead the people into the promised land in that first step of faith, which when they crossed the Jordan, you know, parted that, and then the circumcision, and then the walls of Jericho falling down, and And he ended well, believing, obeying God's word to the very end. And then in Hebrews 11 also, many more are named and many are unnamed. Many, through their faith, stopped mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the sword, battled their enemies. Others were mocked, scourged, tortured, imprisoned, stoned, and even sawn in two. Not wavering, they walked in faith through it all. So their lives testify to us. It can be done. It can be done. There were pilgrims. There were strangers. They wandered around. They did not receive the promise, but they died in faith, looking ahead to the promise. They were assured of them. They believed. They stood firm in knowing, I'm going to receive that promise someday. It might be in this life, and it might be in eternity, but they walked by faith with their God. And we're surrounded by these heroes of the faith. And again, they shout to us, it can be done. No matter the circumstance, the trial, the persecution, or the hardship that we find ourselves in, it can be done. And you might be facing a very horrible trial right now, a very painful trial. There's so many different kinds of trials. You know, there's circumstances, there's emotional things, there's physical things. I mean, just all kinds, from a small trial that's an inconvenience to a major faith testing trial. And with this many people in here, I mean, we've got just about everything. And you can be in all those trials at the same time too. But just know that you can remain faithful to the Lord. You can stand firm and you can walk in faith. They did it, and so can we. And notice in verse 1 chapter 12, it said, therefore we also. We also. So we're included in that. We can run this race of faith, and we can finish, and we can finish well. So how are we to run this race? Well, he tells us in these two verses. Number one, we're to lay aside every weight. Number two, we're to lay aside every sin. Number three, we are to run with endurance. And number four, we're to keep our eyes on Jesus. The Living Bible says, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. So we're to lay aside every weight. Now, none of us wants to carry any extra weight. We don't step on the scale and get excited about an extra pound or two or three or five or ten. We don't want that weight, extra weight on our bodies. And then, you know, I thought about traveling. When you travel, you don't want extra weight in those suitcases. There have been many trips that we've been with people and they're overweight, their suitcase is overweight, and it takes time. It slows us down. Slows the group down because they've got to redistribute the weight, or will you carry this? Will you put this in yours? So, you know, you make that weight even. It slows down. Or it slows you down. Even if they're not overweight, you have too much stuff because you think you might need it, but it slows you down. So we don't even want any of that extra weight. But this extra weight that the writer is talking about is typically our liberties in Christ. Those things that are not definitely defined in Scripture, those can be neutral areas or gray areas or whatever it might be, those liberties. And that is something different to each one of us as Christians. So it's something that might weigh me down may not weigh you down. And that's a liberty. Something that weighs you down I can take on that, and it's not even a weight for me. That's a liberty. So we have the liberty, we have the freedom to do a lot of things in Christ. We are free people. I love that. Free people. And that one song, Freedom Reigns. I don't know if you know that song. That's just, I've been singing that one for months. I love that song. Freedom Reigns in this place. We are free. And there's a lot of things, again, that we can do. But they can be a weight. They're not a sin, but they can slow us down a little bit. So I may have the freedom to do such and such, and I'm not going to name any of them because I don't want to make a list because I don't want to put anything in your mind and, you know, you can fill it in the blank. So I may have the freedom to do such and such, but it would not be wise if I did because it would slow me down a bit. Just like I can have the freedom to eat an entire chocolate cake. But it wouldn't be wise. I would get a headache. I would put on weight. I would get sick. It just wouldn't be wise. But I have the freedom to do that. And there's a lot of things in my Christian walk that I have the freedom to do, but it just wouldn't be wise. Just like, and because he gives this example of this foot race, you have all these examples of a real race that we can use an analogy for this, like the Olympic runner. She can be in tip-top shape. She is fast. She is going to be the winner for sure. And she has the liberty to wear high-heeled tennis shoes if she wants, or to wear some extra jewelry while she's running. She has the liberty to do that. Would those things help her? They would probably slow her down, especially if you're wearing platform tennis shoes or something like that. Of course, she has the liberty to bring her purse, you know, run with her purse, but that would not, she wouldn't win the race. She's going to be slower than the other runners. And as ridiculous as that looks, as you're picturing it in your mind, as foolish as it would be, it is just as ridiculous and just as foolish for me, for you, to choose to exercise some of those freedoms if it means that I'm going to be hindered by that. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, and we need to have this mindset, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore," he said, "I run this way, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight. Not as one who just beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I've preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." So he's saying, no, I have the freedom to run with all these extra things, but that's not wise. And so I discipline myself. I touch lightly upon this world, so that I can run to win. The Living Bible said, "Like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it roughly, training it to do what it should, not what it wants to." And that's as us as Christians, as our Christian life and our Christian practice, we need to discipline ourselves so that we do what we should do, not what we want to do. And that doesn't mean we're not going to have any fun. Remember, we are free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's liberty. You think about some of the cyclists or swimmers. They shave their bodies. I mean, these men, they're shaving their chests, they're shaving their arms, they're shaving their legs, they're shaving themselves to be a little lighter, to move a little swifter. Now, that's dedication. That's discipline. And like Paul said, they're doing it for a crown that's going to perish. But we need to live our Christian lives in the same way because our reward is eternal. So I ask myself, and it's something good to ask ourselves periodically. And I think the older we get in the Lord, the more we ought to ask ourselves this, because we can get a little lazy as we get older and walk with the Lord. And we can get a little less disciplined instead of more disciplined. Do I run this race with that kind of seriousness as an Olympic athlete would? The time that they put into it, what they do to their body to bring it into subjection, whether it wants to or not. Am I running this Christian life like that? Or have I kind of slowed down? Have I let up a little bit? Am I doing all that I can do to discipline myself and let go of every weight so that I am not hindered? Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So Paul basically is saying, ask yourself, does this help me? If the answer is no, then we are to lay it aside. And you've heard this probably a million times like I have, but I'm going to say it anyway. There was that young runner who asked his coach, "Coach, can I smoke and run?" And the coach said, "Yes, you can smoke and run, but you can't smoke and win because it's going to slow you down. It's going to hinder you." So yeah, you have the freedom, you have the liberty, but is that going to help? No, it's not going to help. Is it going to hurt? It might hurt. 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul also said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. They don't build me up spiritually. And I need to be built up spiritually. So, other questions to ask. Does this activity, conversation, what I'm seeing with my eyes or hearing with my ears, does this edify me? Does this build me up spiritually? Is it increasing my spiritual appetite or is it dulling it? Is it a wing or is it a weight? Is it speeding me on my way spiritually or is it slowing me down? Now, for those of you who have walked with the Lord for many years, you've heard all of these things like I have a lot of times. And maybe this is the first time you've heard it. I don't know. But again, the older we get in the Lord, I think the more we need to ask ourselves these questions, because we can get to a place where we think, well, you know, it's just not going to bother me. And so I can do that. But it's not helping. It's not helping us at all. So continually take spiritual inventory to check your progress. What may start out as completely neutral, well, it's not going to help me. It's not going to hurt me. So it'll be fine if I do this. It may turn into a weight where it's slowing me down. And then that weight can even then turn into a sin. And we're to lay aside every weight. So it doesn't matter what Lucy can do. If it's not a weight for her, it might be for me. Or if it is not a weight for me, I have the liberty, I have the freedom to do it. But she can't do it, then I'm certainly not going to do that around her because I don't want to stumble her. It's just kind of how we have to balance things in our lives. And then in our lives, too, it doesn't matter if there's maybe three things and two out of the three, okay, I'm going to lay aside because that one thing, that may slow me down. You know, and I could go on and on and on about that, but I would ask that each of us, myself included, would just simply listen to the Holy Spirit in our lives. Isn't that easy? Lord, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to watch this? Do you want me to read this? Do you want me to go here? Do you want me to be with that? What do you want me to do? No? Okay. And then that we wouldn't put our weights, what would the Lord said, get rid of that, onto somebody else and say, well, I can't do it, they can't do it. Because that's not wrong. Let's just each of us listen to the Holy Spirit. He knows how to talk to us. And if we've walked with the Lord for any length of time, we know how to hear him. And let's just hear him and let's just obey and let's just be free. Just lay aside the weight. Lord, I don't need it. I don't want it. But then there's some things, it's like, it's okay. Okay, thank you, Lord. Then I can do this. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. Tells us we're to lay aside every sin, the sin that so easily ensnares us in it, and sin does do that. Those things, the sin is the, are those things clearly defined as sin in the Bible. You read Galatians 5 about the works of the flesh, any of those things. I'm not going to give you a list of sins. We all know what sin is. And again, we know how to hear the Holy Spirit. And he convicts us. And he lets us know when we're sinning, whether it's our mouth or our attitude or an action or whatever it is. He knows how to talk with us, but we're to lay those aside. We shouldn't be running, of course, and snared and trapped with sin. And again, liberty can turn into a sin. And a sin is destructive. I mean, it's going to destroy you in the race. It's going to take you out. We're to run with endurance. And the whole idea is that we would run this race that we're in like we're going to win. We want to win, and we're going to win. Paul, again, he said, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run to win. And sometimes, again, as we grow older, we're running, but our pace has slowed down, and we kind of forget that we're supposed to run to win. You know, the young are zealous and have a lot more energy than we do. But spiritually, we need to have that same fervor, that same zeal, that same passion of, I'm going to run this race like there's no tomorrow. I'm running to win. And it tells us that word endurance, and I love this. This is just from a million years ago, and you know the church's 30th anniversary is coming up, so my mind has just been going back through the years and everything, and I just remember the first time Damien taught on this, and he told us the Greek word for that is hupomone. Whether you say it like that, I don't know, but hupomone, and you know, it sounds like spumoni and the hupomone, and you do the hupomomomomomone, you know, that kind of thing. And that, so all those silly little things are in my mind, but it's picks you up and makes you run. It just means steadfast endurance. Just that you just keep on going. Now we probably have some runners in here. I am not a runner. I've tried to run, but I don't run very far. And I would have liked to have done track in school, but I did not. And so when I walk, I run, and I got up to a half a mile all by myself. That was pretty good. So I hit the wall pretty quickly, and I run a little differently than other people. I just say, I don't have to run. Who says I have to run? This is optional. You can stop now if you want to. So what if you're tired? You can stop. You know, where most people go, no, I'm going to run to the sign, and then I'm going to run here and run here. I just say, I'm tired. I think I'll stop. I think that's why you need a coach. The heroes of faith, they ran with hupomone. They ran with endurance. And that means as a runner, you run in all kinds of conditions. It doesn't matter how you're feeling. Doesn't matter the emotions. I mean, an Olympic athlete, they are training. They're just going to run no matter what. And so spiritually, we need to run this race in all kinds of conditions. You know what we do? and I've watched you. And this year, from September till now, I cannot believe what people have gone through. And I'm in the mix there. The trials, the testings of our faith since September. You hear person after person, and it's just, it can get overwhelming. It really can sometimes. And you get the prayer requests, and sometimes I just get physically overwhelmed, and I just can't. Lord, I don't know. You got to help these people. Because the trials, they're so hard, but people have persevered. They've pushed on. Their faith has stretched. They've reached out to the Lord, and of course the Lord has met them and been gracious and gotten them through. We need to run no matter the weather, whether it's cold or hot or raining or whatever it might be. A runner doesn't look out the window like I would and say, oh, it's too cold today. I don't think I'll go out there and run. They run. They're in training, spiritually speaking. Whatever weather, whatever's coming our way, whatever storm, keep on running. Running in the face of opposition, the obstacles, the warfare. The warfare is our, I hope we are all praying for our brothers and sisters in our church family, because we are being hit very hard, and it's nasty. Really, really nasty. We have a very evil enemy who is, he wants to destroy every single one, and he's dirty. But we need to run, and we need to have eyes of faith, and we need to just push through that. And we need each other to do that. We need each other to lock shields together to pray. So will you, if you haven't, and you haven't been aware of that, will you now start praying for our church family that the enemy would be bound, and that people would run their race with faith? And there wouldn't be any casualties. Sometimes we need to run against the flow. Faith stands against the flow. Faith runs alone. And we need to run alone sometimes, because everything else is going against us, and we need to run with endurance against that flow. We need to run through the pain. And sometimes that's really hard. Especially when it's the emotional, those deep hurts. And so many are going through family conflict. It's horrendous. It's demonic. It is demonic. And it's painful, and nothing hurts worse in us as women when it is our children or those we love the most in our family. But we need to continue to run with eyes of faith through the pain of it all. You give in to the pain where you would want to curl up in a little ball and just say, I can't do this anymore. And I am sure every single one of us has gotten to that point. I have, more than once. But the Holy Spirit comes in, and he gives you the grace, and you know, you get up again, and then you know other people are praying for you, and we have these cloud of witnesses and people surrounding us to get us up and get moving again. But if you're in that place, we all are cheering you on and saying, come on, get up, and keep pushing through and running through that pain. Running while you're tired. You're just physically weary or emotionally weary. And I don't know a woman alive who hasn't been in that place once or twice in her life. But keep running. Keep on running. Keep running with one foot in front of the other every single day. That's how the race is run. And that's how you win. You just put one foot right in front of the other and you keep on going. You don't say, oh, it's way over there. No, I'm just putting one foot. In fact, once in a while when I have a good day and I'm walking and I do my run, I will tell myself, just one more step, Karen, just one more step, just one more step, just one more step, just one more step. I can't, you know, set a, you know, I know how we're supposed to, and we're spiritually, and we're going to talk about that, setting your goal. I can't do that in real life and physical things because I talk myself out of it. So I just have, it's just today, it's just one more step. You're not tired. Why do you want to stop? You're not tired. Are you tired? No, I'm really not tired. Well, then keep running. Why would you stop? Oh, okay. So just one foot in front of the other spiritually in this walk, in this race of faith, and run to win. Like, I'm going to win. I don't know how many of you are competitive. You really competitive? Okay, yeah, well, the rest of us aren't. We wouldn't do well on a sports team, you know. But we have to have that, not competitiveness, but that same drive, passion. I'm going to win. I'm going to finish this race of faith. So run as if your very life depended on it, because it does. You want to run to the end. Never slow down and never, ever, 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 ever give up. And we need to tell each other that. Be a witness. Be that cheerleader around. Don't give up. Keep going. Get up. Keep going. Keep going. You know, there's a woman in the fellowship who she knew a lot of people who would do marathons. And what she would do is she would go like the last 5 miles and she'd come up and start running with them. And she would just speak scripture to them and just encourage them along. And that's what we need to do spiritually with each other, is just come alongside and say, I know you're hurting. I know this is painful and you can't bear it, but let's go. I'm going to run with you. I'm going to run this lap with you. I'm going to run this mile with you. I'm going to call you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to send you a text of a scripture or something. I'm going to help you. So how in the world, even when we have people around us encouraging us and cheering us on, how in the world can we run like these men and these women who have run this race? How can we do that? Because we get tired, we get discouraged, we get depressed, we get beat up, and we don't have the strength, and we hit the wall. But we know that it is not by power nor by boy's strength, but by His Spirit. God is very gracious, and He empowers us. It's nothing within us. And those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. When we draw close to the Lord, He draws close to us. He is our biggest fan, and He is the one that carries us on eagle's wings. He does it. It's not like, okay, well, I'm going to get tough. I'm going to put on my spiritual running shoes, and she said to run, and like, I'm going to win, and now spiritually I'm going to do that. Well, you can try, and then you're going to hit the wall, and you're going to get tired. You know, do that, but know that the Holy Spirit comes right alongside you, and He carries you on. Lean on Him. Trust in Him. Rest in Him. He will not fail you. He will help you win this race. Verse 2 tells us to look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking to Jesus, eyes fixed on Him with nothing else in view. There's no distractions, no allures that the sin that's trying to ensnare us. And no distractions with the pain and the suffering and the trials. We just have our eyes fixed on Jesus. What in the world would we do without Jesus? We couldn't make it. You just can't make it. You can't make it. But when you look at His eyes, you look at His face, you worship Him, you know Him in His Word and through His Word, and He speaks to us through His Word. That's how we can do it. That's how the heroes did it. In chapter 11, verse 13, It said that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. See, they looked to Jesus. They just didn't know Jesus was the Messiah. They looked to Messiah. They looked to God. They knew something ahead. They knew him. They knew he had salvation. So they looked, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. They believed. They were confident. They embraced them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The only reason Moses, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, any of the others, and all of them that I've just forgotten their names, the only way they did that is that they looked ahead. They didn't look at today. They didn't look at their circumstance. They trusted God for their future. They looked to him. He has something better for me. I'm going to keep my eyes on that, and I'm going to press on. I'm going to run this race because I know he will be faithful. They didn't receive that reward. They didn't receive that promise on earth. When we have Jesus, we look back at Jesus. We know we have salvation. They didn't know. They looked ahead. But we are looking ahead, keeping our eyes on Jesus, on that finish line. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. He is the one who began a good work in us and will complete it. He will do it. He began. He will finish. And it tells us that Jesus, he despised the shame, the rejection, the blasphemy, the scourging. He endured the cross. He was sinless, perfect one. He's the perfect one. And he took all the sin, all the darkness, all the wickedness, all the evil in this world. He took it all upon him on the cross. He endured the cross. He gave all and went to the very end because of the joy that was set before him. He had his eyes on, it is finished. It is finished. He knew, I'm doing this and it'll be finished. And the people that I love will have salvation. And they can come to me. They can come to the Father through me. There is an end. There is a finish line for us. We need to keep our eyes on that end, on Jesus. I love this little poem. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. In our first study, I mentioned that those verses in Habakkuk 3. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. That is the life of faith. And I don't know what your year was like. I don't know how many times your faith was tested. I don't know how much your faith has grown since September. Mine has been stretched and stretched and stretched, but I've grown and I've never been in this place before, and it's a wonderful place to have complete peace in the midst of awful storms and trials and difficulties and heartbreaks and everything else. Yet, it's only through faith, and it's only because of what he has done and is doing in my life And yes, I do have lots of little lapses, but I've grown. And I walk in faith, and I hope that that's where you are. I hope you keep going. I hope we're here to cheer you on. And I hope you run light, you touch lightly. You run fast, you run hard, you run to win, you run to Jesus. And you run, and you run, and you run, and you run, and you run until you run across that finish line. And Father, we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on this earth. And Jesus, we pray that you would come and that you would come quickly. Lord, that finish line is getting closer and closer. And you are at the door. And you're turning the knob. And we want to be found watching and waiting and running hard and running fast right into your arms. So, Lord, I pray for my sisters that have walked with you, Lord. They have gone through the valley. They've had their faith stretched. They've had many opportunities to step out in faith. And I pray, Lord, that you would use all those things and all of these heroes of the faith, all this, your word in each of our lives, so that our faith grows more and more and more and deeper in you. Father, thank you. Thank you that it doesn't depend on us. Thank you for the work and the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your provision in our lives. You give us what we need, and we trust you, Lord. We rest in you. Father, I pray that you would go before each one and that you would lay out that path that they are to go on. You would prepare the way, and that you would be ever present with them. And I pray that surely goodness and mercy would follow them. And I know it will, Lord. Bless my sisters. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless each one of you really good. Praise the Lord.